Ladies and gentlemen, recording from Los Angeles, California. Welcome to another edition of the one and only podcast known to the world as Sean's Sports Stop, where Sean Teplitsky gives his unique opinion on the biggest news stories in sports.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of my podcast. This is episode number 252, and I'm coming at you from Los Angeles, California on Monday, April 1st, 2019. No, this is not a drill. It is not an April Fool's prank. I am doing an episode for you guys, number 252. So as legendary UFC ring announcer Bruce Buffer told you, I'm going to cover the biggest news in sports and give my unique opinion on everything going on. Haven't been able to do an episode in the last few days. It has been 27th, 28th, 29th. 27th, 28th, 29th, 30th, 31st. So it's been 5 days, 6 days actually, since I last done an episode. So, man, I really need to start getting on the daily grind again. I'm going to do my absolute best. But again, I've been very busy. Today's news includes a man being in the hospital after a fight at Dodger Stadium. Zion Williamson, his missing shoe that he busted, possibly being worth $250,000. Auburn shocking the University of Kentucky in overtime to reach the Final Four. Michigan State shocking Duke even harder than Auburn shocked Kentucky to reach the Final Four. The Dallas Mavericks not having all the investigation about Kristaps Porzingis' rape allegation when they made the trade with the New York Knicks. Giancarlo Stanton hitting the IL this season already. Julio Jones not being worried about his contract situation. Zion Williamson's shoe deal coming out of college possibly being worth $100 million. The Oakland Raiders working out Kyler Murray and Dwayne Haskins. The woman involved with Kristaps Porzingis, she wanted the Knicks and Porzingis to meditate the situation. LeBron James saying that it's a possibility that he will play for Team USA in the 2020 Olympics. Team USA possibly taking Zion Williamson on the team for the 2019 World Cup. And John Calipari signing a lifetime contract with the University of Kentucky to remain the coach of the basketball team. But before I get into all that, I want to say every episode of my podcast is available on every podcast platform that includes iTunes and Spotify. So, yeah, if you enjoy the show, the best way to make sure that I keep striving to make daily episodes for you guys is to leave a 5-star review on iTunes and write a little bit about why you enjoy the show. Visit my website at seansportsstop.com for access to all episodes through any platform to see which famous athletes I've interviewed and for quick access to those specific interviews since I've done so many episodes. And you can read the articles that I've written under my blog. I really need to get going on that. So today we're just going to cover the most recent, notable, noteworthy news in sports up until 3:50, about 4 p.m. Pacific time on April 1st. So everything that comes after, obviously, I won't cover it. It'll be on tomorrow's episode that'll be on Tuesday. So with that, let's get down to it. And also, I'm going to cover the LA sports teams later. When I do that, I'm going to change it up. After about 250 episodes, I've decided that a change is needed. Instead of just going through the teams, going through the standings, giving the score, giving you the record, who scored the goals, who had how many points. That's all very boring. Those are things that you can go on the ESPN app. You could search the team in Google and you'll immediately have that information on your, in your fingertips. So I'm just going to cover that, but also give you like the biggest news with those teams because, most of my audience is in Los Angeles. So yeah, without further ado, let's get to it. I've been talking now for 4 minutes and none of it has had to do with sports at all. This is very, very unfortunate. Rafael Reyna, who's a 47-year-old father of 4 children, is on life support after a fight with another man in the parking lot at Dodger Stadium on Friday night left him with a fractured skull, according to Amy Powell of ABC7.com. Quote, he was hit and his head hit the ground and caused the skull fracture and now his brain is swelling. His wife, Crystal Reyna, said, he's bleeding on the brain. I was hearing the arguing happening and then I heard like a smack, a crack, she added, noting she had been on the phone with Rafael at the time. It sounded like a baseball bat and then I heard him start moaning. The Dodgers released a statement on Saturday per ESPN.com which reads, quote, last night an altercation occurred suddenly between two men who were leaving the stadium. One of the men was injured as a result of the altercation. A witness immediately reported the incident to stadium personnel, and emergency medical technicians were promptly dispatched to provide medical assistance at the scene. The matter is now being investigated by the Los Angeles Police Department, and the Dodgers are cooperating fully with the investigation. According to Powell, the suspect is believed to have left the scene in a white SUV, possibly a Toyota 4Runner. Rafael Reyna is currently at the LAC plus USC Medical Center with family members. So very, very unfortunate. I mean, not much to say. Just don't get into arguments. I mean, I don't really know what to say on this. I don't know the situation. I don't know who was right, who was arguing what the deal was. But makes it even more upsetting to me as a Dodger fan that it was two Dodger fans fighting. I mean, I am more understanding if it's like a rival, two fans of two rival teams. They obviously have things to argue about. But two fans of the same team cheering on their team at the game, I don't see what's going on. But that's just me. Now, switching gears to college basketball, Zion Williamson's Nike shoe that exploded during a February 20th game against North Carolina, the same game he suffered a knee injury, has reportedly gone missing, according to TMZ Sports, because, you know, TMZ, those are the kings of gossip. Per that report, Duke head coach Mike Krzyzewski said that, quote, Nike reps came out to Durham and inspected the shoe in hopes of identifying the problem, but it's unclear who has the shoe now. When Williamson was asked who had the shoe, he said to ask Krzyzewski. The Duke Athletic Department told TMZ Sports they were unaware of who ended up with the shoe, and a Nike spokesperson also said they didn't have any information on the shoe's whereabouts. It's mystery and is a potentially expensive one. Ken Golden from Golden Auctions estimated the shoe could be worth as much as $250,000, perhaps making it the most valuable broken and missing shoe in the world. So unbelievable how much Zion's shoe is worth now that it's broken and unique, and it's just pretty funny here. Now transitioning to more college basketball, March Madness, the Final Four is set. For the first time in the men's program history, Auburn is heading to the Final Four. Jared Harper scored 26 points and Bryce Brown added 24, leading fifth-seeded Auburn to a 77-71 overtime victory over second-seeded Kentucky to take the Midwest region. They were playing in only their second Elite Eight in program history, with their first coming in the 1985-86 season. A huge accomplishment from Auburn. I had them losing much earlier on, but this is a prime example of what makes March Madness so entertaining, so fun to watch. Whether or not you're even a sports fan, it's just so fun to tune in and watch. The games are always so exciting because of the upsets. But if you just think about it, if you guys remember the first round of the tournament, the round of, I don't know what it is, 164, it was Auburn and New Mexico State. If New Mexico State made a couple free throws in the end of the game, they would win. Auburn would be eliminated. It would be a huge upset. Auburn would lose in the first round, but you know, Auburn got the lucky break, and then because of that, they built on that. They have been playing extremely good basketball, and now they're going to be in the Final Four. They need to win one more game, and they're going to be in the national championship game of the March Madness tournament. That's what makes things so exciting around here. You never know what could happen. One little thing could make things go the complete other direction of the way they were intended or supposed to go, and that's why I love March Madness personally. So we have more on March Madness, another big upset. If you could call it an upset with a one seed playing a two seed, the Michigan State Spartans are headed to the Final Four for the 10th time in program history. Michigan State beat the Duke Blue Devils 68-67 on Sunday in an Elite Eight clash of heavyweights. The Spartans were the number two seed in the East region and will play the Texas Tech Red Raiders in the national semifinals, while the top-seeded Blue Devils fell one game short of their 17th Final Four. And if they would get there, Coach Mike Krzyzewski would be the lone holder of the record for most Final Four appearances as a coach, breaking John Wooden's record. So it was a great game, very exciting game. Michigan State got a little lucky in the end, but Duke got lucky two times in a row against Virginia Tech and UCF. So everyone's luck runs out. They've been in a bunch of close games. I personally feel now, with Duke underperforming this season and losing in the Elite Eight, I think they were extremely overhyped. Everyone kind of thought coming into the season with having Trey Jones, RJ Barrett, Cam Reddish, and obviously Zion Williamson, that they would be sort of like the Golden State Warriors of college basketball, this unbeatable team. But they were very much so beatable. They arguably should have lost already multiple times in the tournament. And they were just overrated, in my opinion. Now switching gears to the NBA. Kristaps Porzingis has been accused of assaulting and raping a woman while he was a member of the New York Knicks last year, and the Dallas Mavericks reportedly did not know the extent of the allegations before trading for him in January. Woj of ESPN previously reported the Knicks informed the Mavericks of the pending rape allegation while finalizing the trade, but two league sources have contradicted that report. Quote, the word that was used was extortion, a source told Brad Townsend of the Dallas Morning News. The word rape was never used, only extortion, another source added. According to Tina Moore of the New York Post, the woman reportedly said she discussed a $68,000 hush money payment from Porzingis, but went to the police after not getting paid. The player's attorney, Ronald G. Riopel, denied the allegations and said federal law enforcement and the NBA were alerted in December, quote, based on the accuser's extortionate demands, per ESPN.com. We have been instructed by federal authorities not to comment, Mavericks owner Mark Cuban said of the accusations, per Moore. Porzingis has yet to play for Dallas as he recovers from a torn ACL suffered in February 2018. And in this alleged report, actually, I need to add, it's worth noting that the alleged rape happened the day, literally the day that Kristaps Porzingis tore his ACL, within hours of him tearing his ACL. So who knows if he did unfortunately rape this woman, which I'm not saying he did, why that was the case. But what I find very interesting and what people are not really talking about is that it is a fact. It is not an opinion. It is a fact that this woman, after the alleged rape, she wanted intimate time with Kristaps Porzingis. That was the exact quote in some of the reports. Intimate time, and she sent him explicit photos. So if you do that, if you want intimate time with someone after an alleged rape, then something's not adding up. I mean, something's got to give. I don't really get the deal. This really reminds me of a very recent situation with a boxer named Kubrat Pulev, who fought actually near where I live in Costa Mesa, California. And after the fight, he won the fight. It was a very tough fight. I actually watched some of it live. So anyway, after the fight, he was being interviewed by a reporter who, after he answered her question, he kissed her on the lips, which that's a very, very negative thing to do, especially if it's just out of the blue, you know, with the cameras rolling. That's not something you do, especially as someone like a professional athlete who's a role model on a TV channel like ESPN. That's a huge no-no, especially in this day and age where people are very sensitive about things like this, and rightfully so. But then, you know, everyone was going crazy. But then there was a video. First of all, the first thing that comes out is that Kubrat Pulev and this reporter were friends and that they have had a romantic relationship in the past and things like that. But then a video comes out of this female reporter attending the after party with Kubrat Pulev and his team. And I don't know how to put this because this is a family-friendly podcast, but she was doing some very sexually suggestive things with members on the team. And that's all on video. That's all on YouTube. You could check that out for yourself. So, you know, this is a very sensitive topic and I really shouldn't be saying this, but with the women nowadays, for men, it's really tough. And I'm not saying that all women are malicious and they're just out there for the money, but a lot of times, especially with pro athletes and people that have a lot of money, there will be allegations and there will be circumstances that are completely fabricated, completely made up. I personally, if I had to choose, I don't believe Kristaps Porzingis raped this woman, but if he did, shame on him. But honestly, I don't believe he didn't. I may be completely wrong, but I'll change my tone about it if and when it comes out that he didn't. So now switching gears to sports, some actual sports. We have a much lighter, you know, thing to talk about. The New York Yankees will have to play their upcoming games without Giancarlo Stanton, who was placed on the 10-day injured list with a bicep strain on Monday. Brian Hoch later noted Stanton has a grade 1 strain and that manager Aaron Boone hopes to have the slugger back, quote, later this month. Boone told reporters Stanton suffered the injury on a, quote, funky swing during Sunday's loss to the Baltimore Orioles. Stanton is a big part of the Yankees lineup, entering the day with a .250 batting average through the first three games with no home runs. Even with the other big hitters in the middle of the order, an extended absence could be a big setback for the team. You know, Stanton, they signed him to a huge contract. He's a big part of the team, and at this point, it doesn't matter much, but the Yankees have been losing to the Orioles a little bit. And at what point do you start getting concerned? I'm not really sure. But now we have some NFL to cover. Julio Jones and the Atlanta Falcons have yet to agree on a long-term contract extension, but the superstar wide receiver is not sweating it. Quote, my agent is in the process of them talking about it. It hasn't come to me. I'm good. I'm comfortable with how everybody's doing it, he told Vaughn McClure of ESPN.com. There's no pressure on my end and none on their end. If they're going to get it done, we'll get it done. Jones has 2 years and $21 million remaining on his contract, though as McClure noted, quote, Falcons general manager Thomas Dimitroff vowed to revisit Jones' contract this offseason after the team adjusted Jones' deal before last season. His total five-year deal has Jones at 11th among wide receivers at average yearly salary, though he is not concerned with those comparisons, saying, quote, me personally, I don't really care about as far as being the highest paid receiver, man. It's a number. We've got some other guys on the team. If we can do it in a way to get all the other guys to stay on the team, it's a lot of ways you can do money. So I really like what Julio is saying here. He said, I don't really care, you know, if I'm the highest paid wide receiver. I'm sure people like Antonio Brown and Odell Beckham Jr., those guys do care. They're on this, in my opinion, Julio Jones, Antonio Brown and Odell Beckham Jr. are pretty much equal as the top three wide receivers in the NFL, but the difference between the three is that Odell and AB are drama queens, both of them. They care about things like being the highest paid wide receiver. Julio Jones is a guy that goes to work, puts in a lot of work, doesn't care about these kind of things. He's not a drama queen. He's a great teammate. He literally just said, if there's a way for me to sign a contract where I do get rewarded and I do get paid, but then the other guys on the team can still stay on the team and we can win here in Atlanta, let's do it. That's the right attitude. You put the team first over your personal, not even needs, but desires. Because if it's a difference of, like, let's just say hypothetically, completely hypothetically, $30 million versus $40 million, $30 million, I mean, you don't need $30 million to live. That's a lot of money. Between 30 and 40, that's just greed. And, you know, I'm pretty sure Odell Beckham Jr. doesn't have 57 kids that he needs to provide for. So, you know. But honestly, I don't know how I would behave if I was in the situation. If I knew, on the flip side, this is all on the other hand, I'm always honest about my opinion. You know, if I was someone like Odell Beckham Jr., and I know, like, I believe for myself that I am the best wide receiver in the NFL. I am the best at an important position in the most popular sport in the United States of America. I want all the money I can get, especially in a sport where you know that there is traumatic brain injuries and you know that you're going to be pretty much a cripple after your career is over. So there's always multiple ways to look at it, but I really like Julio Jones' attitude in this situation. So now switching gears to more college basketball. 16 years ago, LeBron James sparked the biggest bidding war the shoe game had ever seen, eventually inking a $90 million contract with Nike. Zion Williamson, who spent much of his Duke career gaining comparisons to LeBron James, may be set to pass him. Nick DiPaolo of ESPN reported that some believe Williamson's first shoe contract could be over $100 million, and this man, mind you, has not played in the NBA yet. Quote, in my lifetime, I think it's going to be the biggest bidding war ever done, said Sonny Vaccaro, a legendary former shoe executive who signed Michael Jordan to Nike in 1984. I would put them all on go. No rookie contract has eclipsed the $90 million mark, LeBron said in 2003. In fact, LeBron took less money to sign with Nike over a stronger number from Reebok, though the final numbers on that deal are not known. There have been rumors of potentially enormous shoe contracts. Andrew Wiggins was reportedly looking at $180 million from Adidas coming out of high school, but none have come to fruition. Wiggins wound up signing an endorsement deal with the company worth around $12 or $13 million per year coming out of college. So if Zion, I would not be surprised one bit if he gets $100 million, considering that LeBron got $90 million 16 years ago, and, you know, $100 million now is probably without inflation, less than what $90 million was 16 years ago. But the fact that someone like Zion Williamson could be so talented but not play in an NBA game and get a $100 million shoe contract from a company like Nike or Adidas is mind-boggling. It's pretty crazy, to be honest. But we'll just have to see. If he gets that kind of contract, he'll definitely have to live up to expectations at the next level. Now transitioning back to the NFL, the Oakland Raiders are doing their due diligence on the quarterbacks in the class of 2019 ahead of this year's NFL draft. Albert Breer of the MMQB reported, quote, Coach John Gruden and general manager Mike Mayock will work Kyler Murray out in Dallas on Monday, I'm told, and they'll work Dwayne Haskins out on Tuesday in Columbus, Ohio. Doing them back-to-back should bring pretty good perspective in comparing them. Gruden has maintained that Derek Carr will remain the team's quarterback, as he told Jim Trotter of NFL Network last week, quote, he's going to be our quarterback. I'm not going to address all the rumors. I could care less about the rumors. He threw for 4,100 yards, threw for almost 70% in a very dire, tough circumstance, so I've got a lot of confidence in Carr. What he can do with Antonio Brown, with Tyrell Williams, with Trent Brown coming in here to help our offensive line. But that won't stop the Raiders from exploring the quarterback market at this year's NFL draft. As Mayock told Michael Gelkin of the Las Vegas Review-Journal, there is value in scouting QBs, even if you don't plan on drafting them, saying, quote, you better know how good these guys are. You better know what other teams are interested in them. You better know whether or not you can improve your own position. That's part of what a GM and head coach do, is evaluate every position on your football team, and you owe it to your team to do the best job you can to upgrade whenever you can. But again, I said this back at the Combine, I don't think there are many people walking around that are better than Derek Carr. And you know what? I agree. Derek Carr, he's a very good quarterback. He was going to be the MVP the year that the Raiders made the playoffs a couple years ago when he broke his leg near the end of the season. Very close to the playoffs, unfortunately, for the Raiders in that season. At this moment, Kyler Murray, in my opinion, has the talent to potentially be better than Derek Carr overall once both of their careers are over. Dwayne Haskins, I'm not so sure. I would take Carr over Haskins no matter what. But Kyler, you might take the risk with him, but if you have a guy like Alex Smith, if you have a guy like Nick Foles, if you have a guy like Case Keenum, Blake Bortles. No disrespect to any of those guys, but those are guys that just aren't that good. They're a little bit more than a little bit above average amongst their peers at the quarterback position in the NFL, but they're not all of that. Kyler Murray, I think, has the potential, if you gamble on him, to be a very, very good quarterback in the NFL. But the thing is that the Raiders already have a very, very good quarterback in Derek Carr, so I think they shouldn't draft the quarterback in this year's draft. That's just my personal opinion. But I really like what the GM Mike Mayock is saying, that like, just because you're scouting a QB doesn't mean you're going to draft him and replace your current guy with him. You just want to see how good he is. You want to see what other teams see in him. You want to see what the other teams are raving about. You want to know what you're going to be going up against in the future if you don't select him. So I think he's just doing his due diligence. That's just me personally. Now switching gears to more LeBron and more basketball. LeBron James won't compete for Team USA in 2019, but he might make his return to the men's basketball team for the 2020 Olympics in Tokyo, saying, quote, "Yeah, that's a possibility," per Joe Vardon of The Athletic. "It depends on how I feel. I love the Olympics." The Lakers star competed in the Olympics in 2004, 2008, and 2012, but chose not to compete in the 2016 games. The 2014 was a disappointment after finishing with only a bronze medal, although LeBron was only 19 years old at the time. His teams went on to win 2 gold medals in the next 2 Olympics, alongside Dwayne Wade, Carmelo Anthony, Kobe Bryant, and Kevin Durant. In 2016, however, LeBron decided to rest during the offseason after winning the NBA title with the Cleveland Cavaliers in a grueling 7-game series against the Golden State Warriors. There might be more time for rest now with the Lakers, considering that he's missing the postseason for the first time since 2005. And with San Antonio Spurs, legendary Spurs coach Greg Popovich now coaching Team USA, there was even a chance LeBron could play this summer in the FIBA World Cup in China. However, there are scheduling conflicts with his role in Space Jam 2. He said, quote, "I love everything about Pop, obviously, but this is not a good summer for me." Still, his respect for Popovich might be enough for him to, you know, play in the 2020 Olympics, and I would love to see LeBron play for Team USA again. Speaking of Team USA, we have more on the man known as Zion Williamson. So Zion will not have the opportunity to play in the Final Four following Sunday's loss to the Michigan State Spartans, unless he stays at Duke, which I'm pretty sure everyone doesn't believe he will. But he may have the chance to play for his country. On Monday, Mark Stein of the New York Times reported USA Basketball plans to, quote, gauge Williamson's interest in playing in the FIBA World Cup during the summer. Stein noted the formal discussions likely will not happen until closer to June's NBA draft, when the freshman playmaker has an agent. He noted there is a precedent in place for such a move. He tweeted, quote, "At FIBA WC, but the precedent was set to make room for a special talent like Williamson. In 2012, Anthony Davis was given a roster spot on at USA Basketball's Olympic team that summer before he played in a pro game." So I think this would be cool. I think this is good for everyone involved. You get Zion competing on not the best competition in the world, because it's not the Olympics, it's the FIBA World Cup, but you have him along with the other young guys on Team USA, and people are going to be tuning in. I think it's just good for everyone involved. So now we are switching gears to college basketball to close out this episode of Sean's Sports Stop. A big blow to my UCLA Bruins. Kentucky and head coach John Calipari have agreed to a new long-term contract that will ensure he finishes his coaching career in Lexington on Monday. Quote, "It has nothing to do with the other stuff people call every year," said Calipari on his radio show. "They presented it to me and I appreciated it. This comes in response to UCLA's offer of a 6-year, $48 million deal, according to Seth Davis of The Athletic. The new contract would include a 10-year deal as Kentucky's head coach, plus the opportunity to serve as a, quote, paid ambassador after his retirement, per Davis. He's already the highest paid coach in college basketball, reportedly making $9.2 million this season, and his current contract runs through 2024. However, the newest deal could give him even more security beyond his coaching days. The 60-year-old reportedly had, quote, extensive contact with UCLA, but decided he wanted to stay with Kentucky. And, you know, it's his decision. I respect it. He's an amazing coach, and sucks he won't come to UCLA, but he very much so deserves the lifetime contract. So now we are switching gears to the LA sports teams, and we are covering much more than just the scores in addition to the scores. Starting with the Lakers, the last time I did an episode was on the 26th. On the 27th, the Lakers lost 115-100 to the Utah Jazz. Kuzma, Lance Stevenson, I'm just going to, you know, because it wasn't recent, I'm just going to go through the scores. On March 29th, the Lakers beat the Hornets 129-115 at home. And then yesterday, they beat the Pelicans 130-102 on the road. They will look to make it 3 wins in a row as they take on the Oklahoma City Thunder tomorrow at 5 p.m. Pacific time on TNT. This game doesn't really matter for the Lakers. In fact, it would be better if they lose it to increase their chances of getting a high pick in the 2019 NBA draft. But it's a huge game for the Thunder, who I was shocked when I saw this in about a week or 2 weeks, they went from the 3 seed in the Western Conference to the 8 seed. So they might still miss the playoffs. We don't know. This is a huge game for the Thunder. Now, the LA Clippers, they are in good shape. On the 28th, they lost 128-118 on the road against the Milwaukee Bucks, the best team in the NBA. They bounced back, though, on March 30th with a 132-108 win over the Cleveland Cavaliers at home. And then they took care of business against the Memphis Grizzlies yesterday, 113-96. They will look to make it three in a row as well, as they take on the Houston Rockets at home on Wednesday, April 3rd at 7:30 p.m. Pacific time on NBA TV. The Lakers also signed Jamario Jones to a contract. The LA Kings, not much news with them, so I'll just cover the scores for the Kings. On March 28th, they lost 3-2 in the shootout to the Vancouver Canucks on the road. But then on Saturday, they beat the Chicago Blackhawks 3-2 in overtime. They will look to make it two in a row to take on the Calgary Flames today at 7 p.m. Pacific time. And now our friends, the Anaheim Ducks, let's see what they're up to. So on March 29th, they got destroyed 6-1 against the Calgary Flames on the road, but then they destroyed the Edmonton Oilers on the road 5-1, and they take on the Calgary Flames again on Wednesday, April 3rd at 7:30 p.m. Pacific time, but this time it is at home. The Los Angeles Dodgers have went through their first series of the year, some very interesting games. On Thursday, March 28th, they beat the Arizona Diamondbacks 12-5. They set a franchise record, they broke the opening day record for 8 home runs in a single game. It was great. Then on Friday, the Diamondbacks got their revenge 5-4. It was a very disappointing game because it went 13 or 14 innings. I stayed up and watched it. But the Diamondbacks, their only lead of the game was the half inning in which they won. It was the 13th inning. Otherwise, the Dodgers led the whole game, but it was enough for the D-backs to get the win in extra innings. Then the Dodgers destroyed them the next game, 18-5, just absolutely demolished them. And in that game, Russell Martin, who's the catcher, pitched the 9th inning, closed the game out. So that was very, very interesting. And then yesterday, the Dodgers took 3 out of 4 from Arizona by beating them 8-7. So a good game. They came all the way back. The Dodgers will open up a 3-game series against the San Francisco Giants at home today at 7:10 p.m. Pacific time. The game's going to be on ESPN, although I'm not sure if it'll be I'm pretty sure it'll be blacked out in the LA area, the LA market. So I'll just stream it online like I do the other games because of the whole Sportsnet LA situation. And as far as Dodger news, Clayton Kershaw is looking back to come back soon. He's going to throw a simulated game soon. Rich Hill is looking to come back soon as well. Other than that, Justin Turner might have fractured his wrist again, if not for his protected shield. He was hit by a pitch. AJ Pollock, Cody Bellinger, Jock Peterson, Corey Seager, Justin Turner, they have all been hitting great. Pollock, I love. He's a great pickup. Joe Kelly did not look good on Friday. He gave up a big home run, which ultimately led to the D-backs winning. Kenley Jansen is pitching well. Not a big fan of Yimi Garcia. But, yeah, now we have the LA Angels. Lots of LA sports teams playing now, and now that baseball is back. So to start off the season, the Angels lost 4-0 to the Oakland Athletics. Then they beat the Athletics 6-2 on Friday. They lost 4-2 on Saturday, and they lost 2-1 yesterday. So they are 1-3 on the season. They will look to make it 2-3 as they take on the Seattle Mariners today at 7:10 p.m. Pacific time on the road. The LA Galaxy, they played the Portland Timbers yesterday, and they won 2-1 on the road. As Zlatan Ibrahimovic scored both goals for the Galaxy, and both were penalty kicks, one in the 33rd and one in the 65th minute. So a great start to the season for the Galaxy. I believe they have only had 4 seasons as a franchise that were better after 4 games. They will look to keep things rolling as they take on the Vancouver Whitecaps on Friday, April 5th at 7 p.m. Pacific time. The Galaxy are in 5th in the Western Conference with 9 points after 4 matches played. And now let's cover our friends, the LAFC. They destroyed the San Jose Earthquakes on Saturday, March 30th, 5-0, and they will look to keep things going as they take on DC United on Saturday, April 6th at 12 p.m. Pacific time. So LAFC, they have won 3 of their first 4, with the only non-win being a tie versus New York City FC. So ladies and gentlemen, this is all we have for this episode of Sean's Sports Up. Thank you guys so much for listening, and as always, until next time, guys.